Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Mahalo, everybody, and aloha. Welcome to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum radio show. And, you know, I always start the show off with a thank you. And I think that's important, that you always give back and you appreciate what you have. And we've been on the air now for going on 10 years. And the reason why we are is because of one man who believes in us, and he's put me on the air for us to talk on a weekly basis. And I want to bring him on the air right now and introduce him and talk to him. I'm talking about my producer, Hanji Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really good. As you would say, better and better. Now, we got an exciting event coming up at the Tropicana in New Jersey, and we're going to honor some women. Tell our listeners a little bit what's going on up there with my friend Alan Goldberg.
Yeah, we're going to be having a great weekend. It's going to kick off on the 27th. I think there's something happening on the 26th, but on the 27th, we're going to kick off with a special event for honoring women in the martial arts, and we have an awards presentation on Friday night. And then on Saturday night, they have, before his event kicks off, they're going to be the first up introducing the women, you know, in the martial arts. In our first Hall of Honors, there we have a biography book coming out on them, and we also have the Action Martial Arts history book, which is coming out too. So we got a lot of things, you know, planned. And then on the 18th of February, we're going to have a virtual event for the ladies that are not able to make it to the event there, that they can still be able to be recognized. And, you know, we're really looking for the ladies that would like to do some online seminars and just have a, you know, day of just, you know, honoring ladies in the martial arts. So we're working on that, and we'll announce that shortly.
That sounds very exciting. Now, if anybody wants a ring or get one of the new history books that you produced for me a couple of years ago, how would they go about it, sir?
Oh, well, all they need to do is actually go to the Who's Who in the Martial Arts and go to our store. And when they go to the store, there's a special section for the Sport Karate Museum. And all they need to do is to click on that link, and they'll be able to see that special section. And they can, you know, purchase the books or, you know, we're actually coming up with the download of this book, and that's going to come out this year, which will be on PDF, so everyone can actually have it on their phone. So that's one of our future projects. But all they need to go to our store, and they can also go to Amazon. They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and purchase a copy of the book. So go to our website, who's who in the martial arts, .com, and they can go to Amazon or they can go to Barnes & Noble and just purchase it online.
Wow, thank you. Well, thank you for all you do, and thank you for producing this show for 10 years. Golly, Bum, I can't believe we've been on the air for that long. But we've done a great job getting the awareness out to the Sport Karate Museum and Elite Publications and the AMAA Radio Network. So thank you, Hanji Bowen. You take care, sir, okay?
All right, sir. Be blessed.
Yes. Now I want to bring on someone very special. He has stepped up to help the Fort Crowder Museum, and he's producing an action martial art festival of movies celebrating 50 years that we did the End of the Dragon was produced by Warner Brothers, and it was Bruce Lee's big film, and it's the 50th anniversary, and he's going to be showing it. Well, I'll let him tell you about it. Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir. Professor Gary, how are you today?
I'm great, Leo. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, man. It's amazing how much these martial arts movie stars who you think, you know, because they're movie stars, that they're untouchable, are just really super humble and generous with their time and their energy.
Well, give us an update on what's going to be happening in February and what you're doing for the Fort Crowder Museum.
Well, as you know, we're doing the first ever U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival starting February 2nd here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And Harkins Theaters is our partner, and it's also the 50th anniversary of Enter the Dragon. It was first released back in 1973. So we're going to be showing four Bruce Lee movies. We're going to be showing a Jackie Chan movie. We're showing a lot of movies from the 70s and 80s. And we have one world premiere and one U.S. theater exclusive. So Grandmaster, Karate Master Ron Van Cleef has been generous enough to give us the world premiere of his biography documentary, a full feature-length film about his life in the sport of karate and being a movie star and all of that. So we're really excited about that. And also, just recently, a few days ago, we got permission to show the movie Ninja Busters, which stars Grandmaster Eric Lee. And to my knowledge, the movie, it was filmed in 1984, but it was never actually released in U.S. theaters. It was released briefly in 2015, so this may be the first time it's actually being shown in theaters. And
wow.
What we're doing for the Sport Karate Museum is anybody who buys an all-access pass using the code SKM, we will make a donation back to the Sport Karate Museum.
Wow, thank you so much. Now, also, you got a couple of my friends are going to be there, like Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Gerald Yakamura. I mean, there's going to be some really cool people there.
Did you
ever
get a hold of Bobby Kim?
We did not. We weren't able to reach Bobby Kim. So, to my knowledge, Bobby Kim will not be able to join us this year. And we did, you know, we made some other invitations, and, you know, a lot of people just I didn't know, but they schedule 6, 8, 12 months in advance, so they just weren't available. We invited Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he had a scheduling conflict. We invited Donnie Yen and Tony Jaa and Jet Li, but they all had scheduling conflicts. So right away we said, okay, well, what about next year? So all these people who weren't available this year, we were fairly confident we're going to be able to get them for next year.
And you're going to have a booth at this super vendor show that we're doing in October, and you'll have a display of everything there so people can
get
prepared for next year. And we want to
thank you.
We want to thank you for considering the Sport Crowder Museum in your festival and contributing and helping keeping the Sport Crowder history alive, Leo. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for operating and, you know, protecting the history of sport karate, Professor Lee, because, you know, without you, there's so much information that will be lost to the world. So you do a very important job, and, you know, whatever we can do to help, we want to do that.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's really been a joy to be able to educate people on history and keeping them informed about what we did in the 60s and the 70s. And the 80s and the 90s. I can't believe it's been been 7 decades since we started sport karate. And, you know, honoring something like what you're doing is really, really cool, as we say. So you take care, Leo, and God bless you, buddy, okay?
I sure will. Thank you, and God bless you too.
You bet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was Leo Ramos with his Action Film Festival that'll be in Arizona in February, at the beginning of February. We'll be bringing him on up until the event. Now I'd like to introduce two of my co-hosts, two guys that really kind of put up with me for all these years.
Did you say
really
co-host?
Yeah, that's right. Now, the first one I'd like to introduce, he is a product of the great Joe Louis. And I'm very proud that before Joe left us, he gave me permission to adopt him. So he's been my student for, golly bum, going on 10 years, I guess. But he is a, and I'm not exaggerating, guys, this is the truth. He is a 40-time National Black Belt League NASCA World Champion. That's right, in Point Karate. He also teaches the military. He has a beautiful school, Fort Walton, Florida. And he's been taking care of me for a long time. That speaks to Mr. Dean Piles. Dean, you there, buddy?
Hello. See you in Nagata, everyone.
How
that's
are
hello,
you,
everyone. That's what that said. I said in Cherokee. Hello,
yeah,
everyone.
We're learning that you speak Cherokee pretty good. In fact, our friend that we're roasting in October 6th, she's becoming a chief.
Yeah, she's trying to keep that under the lid, so we're not going to talk about that right now.
Okay. We're going to surprise people. But
we got a lot of stuff going on with that. I'm fully involved with what you're talking about, and we got a lot of stuff going on there. Karen and I work very close on that, so we're. Yeah,
okay,
I got you, but yeah, you're exactly right.
And the other thing that you're doing is bringing 8 Angry Spartans, your production company, working with Gary Wachinsinski to film a part of the Sport Karate Museum movie. That's exciting.
Yep.
So, you're also
yep, 8 Angry Spartans will be there. They'll have the 8 Angry Spartans production will be there. We'll be filming some of the stuff, and we'll just see how that goes. From now on out, and start getting some of that stuff filmed while we're at the Living Legends there, and get some of that. But in the meantime, in the interim, they're putting together some stuff and making a list. And then once they get the list complete of what they want to do, they'll start putting some stuff in, rearranging it, and then we'll shoot it to you and let you take a preview of it, and then let you see how we're doing stuff, and then we'll move it around and keep going and then just, you know, build it from there.
What I'm excited about also is that on Friday night, when we honor Mr. Jerry Smith, you're going to be doing a haka for him, and that is a warrior's tribute that was invented in New Zealand, but the Hawaiians kind of took it over. And you do a special haka, and it's so exciting
yep.
to see you do that. And,
but
so anyway, really, the other guy that keeps interrupting, who I love, he's from Cleveland, Ohio. He is a master.
Oh,
you guys know I don't use the word master, grandmaster very much, but he is actually a master in Tang Soo Karate. And he's really a cool guy.
Okay.
I know Mr. AJ Perry. Whoever's got their radio on, please, can you mute your radio if you're not talking? Thank you. AJ,
how you doing, Gary? Thanks for
a
nice introduction.
Well, I'm practicing every week, buddy. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are my two co-hosts, Mr. Dean Piles and Mr. AJ Perry. Now, tonight, to me, is like a fun show. It's incredible. I've been wanting to introduce and interview this man for a long time. He is my greeter at the museum every year now, that when you walk in, see the museum display at the gathering at the Legends, you see his face first. He is also going to be the co-producer this year for the Super Vendor Show. He's an American hero, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Marine. He's my friend. He's an ambassador for the Sport Card Museum. He's an incredible martial artist. I'm talking about Patrick Paris Kelly. Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well,
I just my choice. It. My choice alone to become a conscious Marine. I stepped off the message. I just had to get that out there right quick, Patrick. I'm going to let you get at it now, bro, but I had to throw that in for you.
I love you, little brother.
Love you too, big bro. The guy out there, Freehee.
Well, that was two brothers talking, two guys that love each other through the love that we put people together. So, Paris, let me ask you, buddy. How's
yes,
San Antonio?
Sir.
That's where you live, is it? San Antonio, Texas?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I knew
the
that.
How's the weather?
I spent 20 years in Vegas. I've been here
what?
2 years. Yeah, it's been beautiful today. T-shirt, short weather. I was riding, so I didn't get to take my track chair out with the dog, so I'll have to take them out twice tomorrow so they don't get mad at me.
Now, you lived in Las Vegas for a while, didn't you?
20 years. Yes, sir.
20 years. Now you gotta hook up. Honestly, you gotta hook up with my uncle Jerry Smith. He lives in Las Vegas. Also, James Moore, two of my co-hosts of the radio show. So you make sure you talk to them because they live in Vegas. So you guys have a lot in common. Yes, sir.
Well, I go out there every year for the Marine Corps birthday and for the honor ride for We Are Project Hero. So. I'll definitely
cool.
look them up when I go out.
Cool. Now, tell my listeners a little bit about your martial art history and how long have you been a Marine?
I was in the Marines for 6.5 years active, 8 years total, which we all have to do that. When I went in, I ended up with 16 surgeries. I beat 3 medical boards to stand, so they finally put me out administratively because I could beat any medical board. Active duty for Marine Corps. I went to signed up for the Army with my brother in 1975, but didn't get to go in active duty to the Marine Corps until 1977. Paris Island, 3rd Battalion H Company. Very proud of that. Era. And did very well, made sergeant in a little over 2 years. Got beat up real bad, but I had everything that turned bad always turned into an asset. So I was very blessed. Part of it is I'm just not smart enough to lay down and rest. I just keep going. I don't see failures. I just see opportunities. And I just keep grabbing until I latch on to something. Like even when I went to get, they sent me back to amputate my left leg because I had gangrene and infection of the bone. And I just didn't want to be bedridden all the time. So I asked for a job and just started volunteering. And I was actually put up for sailor and a quarter and almost made it. Missed it by the skin of my teeth. I'd have been the first Marine in history to ever make sailor and a quarter. They weren't going to let a Marine get it. But I'm still
proud
of it.
That's amazing. Now, Paris, when did you make black belt?
I never cared about ranks. The first part of my life, all I wanted to do was learn how to kill and destroy. It served me very well when I was young. Had very bad instructors because I would have never, if I had a student like me, they'd have been walking down the road. But then I got it in my sights that I wanted to make black belt and see how far I could go. I think I made black belt in 1991 or 1992. I got into I've done Wushu-Ru, Gi-Kai, and several other martial arts, but I fell in love with a martial art called Kwan Ki Dao. It's a Vietnamese Chinese Kung Fu. My grandmaster is Pham Dong Tong. And he was actually a colonel in the South Vietnamese Army, recognized by the United States of America, and he trained our special forces in Saigon. So I fell in love with it, and I've never quit. And I think he made me technical director somewhere around 95 or 96, something like that, for the United States.
Now, we cross-ranked you this year.
Yes, you did.
Your sixth Don, and we're very honored that you're part of the Sport Karate Museum Black Belt Syndrome. And also, you became an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum. Now, how do you feel about coming to the events every year?
Ambassador and History General. You actually...
Oh, that's right. History General. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much for that.
I'm an old man there.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm 65 next week. So.
Yeah. Well, that's your question, sir. Again, I was saying, you're not only the speaker of the display that we do every year. How do you feel being a part of the Sport Karate Museum and the history?
I love it. It was quite interesting because I've been blessed with some very talented people, and me just being me, because I don't look at people as far as their rank. I more like just like people. And I like the way I like to watch people, and I like to see how they interact with other people. And there's nothing better than watching somebody with a kind heart trying to help somebody else. And I think that's the part that amazed me the most, because I don't know what people's ranks were. I know now, but all I saw was people wanting to help each other. And that's the part that reached my heart and wanted me to ask more questions and see more things. And actually, I would have never even met my dear little brother, Grandmaster Dean Piles, the Wolverine, if it wasn't for you. You actually told me to call and I did almost 2 years ago, and it's just been a love fest ever since.
Well, you know, the people that are very special, and there's so many people, but the military people that I've accumulated friends with over the years are very special. And we have a special advisory board that looks over and sees the diplomas that we give out for the military group, being martial artists across America. And, you know, I'm not a name dropper, but I got to say some of them. Okay, Gary Smith, Danny Lane, Danny McCall, Lonnie Walker, Colonel Ike Slaughter, Colonel Phil Torres, Colonel Steve Vitale, General Tom Mulligan. I mean, we've got an incredible group of guys that really believe in their martial arts and are incredible martial artists. And you're a part of that now, Paris, because as of this year, you're on that advisory board too. So, you know, you're a special man. Now, let me ask you one more question. When did you, realize that you were a very special individual in the martial arts and your personality? See, that's what I love about you. I love about your personality. You're the type of person that makes people feel good. But when did you realize that you were special, Paris?
Never have. I don't. I recognize what you said, and I humbly appreciate it. But I don't think there's anything special about me. I like to laugh and joke and tease, and I like to treat people the way I want to be treated. And I believe that's my success. And I'm not afraid to do anything. That's just like even when you and Grandmaster Jenny Plest, you guys, definitely her, because she got me to you, and then everything just rolled after that. So I will definitely say kudos for that young lady. And
well,
amazing,
as you would say,
you put me in the Hall of Fame.
Don't go anywhere, okay, Paris?
I want to say one thing. Paris, one thing that makes Patrick so special is his never give up attitude. And, you know, that's in the Recon Creed, to quit, to stop, is to give up, is to fail. And to be a Recon Marine is to surpass failure. And that's one of the things that makes him such a special person. I just wanted to throw that in there because a lot of people don't understand some of the background and things that go along with what we do. And I just wanted to, you know, let people know that this is that never give up spirit, that semper fidelis that makes people so special and makes him so special.
Thank you.
And makes me so glad he's my big bro.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean. Thank you for that input. Now, Paris, don't go anywhere. I'm going to do a couple of segments, and I'm going to bring you back to close out the show. So don't go anywhere, okay, Paris?
Can I just say one thing, though? Because I find it hysterical. Part of what Dean said is, a lot of people don't realize I'm in a wheelchair. And even when I showed up for the seminars, I rolled my little happy butt out there. Everybody thought I was going to sit and watch. But I got out there, and I was doing it with the best of them. So I think that's what he's talking about. And I kind of very funny.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. Is most people look for an excuse to give up. Warriors look for an excuse not to give up. And that's exactly what I was talking about.
Well, I can tell you this, Paris. My crew here on the radio show and all the history journals and ambassadors that shows up at the events have grown to love you. Love your laugh, love your charisma, and love your attitude.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle. I truly appreciate you, and I appreciate everything everybody's done for me and make me feel like a part of a family. And that, I think, is the Rue Karate Museum is you become family. That's the way I see it anyways. I'm just a broke-down Marine, but that's the way I see it.
Okay, sir. Listen, don't go nowhere, okay? I'll bring you back and just close out the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Patrick Paris Kelly, a Marine, Ambassador of History General for the Sport Crime Museum. One heck of a guy. And we'll bring you back in a few minutes. But now I want to bring on one of my segments of the show that we created a year ago. And it's called the 4+1. And this is when we talk about topics on the 5. And we're going to the name of the 5 coming up. And the 4+1 is really an amazing group of people. And they are martial artists who have proven themselves through their tenure of being authentic and realistic and opinionated. So at this time, I was to bring on the lady of the group, Miss Karen Slatcher, a PKL champion, trained in Shaolin Karate and trained in Kung Fu, one of my history generals, Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there, honey?
Yes, I am.
What a great show tonight. Now, Karen, the question is, how has the military affected the martial arts in the decades?
Well, I would say every teacher I ever had from 1959 on up has been military, either retired or active. I had dealt with many times them showing up for class with a sad look on their face like they were being deployed, not much we could do, closing down. And yet all I can say is thank God that the military saw and fell in love with the martial arts over in Japan, Korea, Vietnam. They all fell madly in love with it and got the fever, and they brought it back to us. And they have taken their skills and probably enhanced the military 100% with their hand-to-hand combat, with their knife techniques, with things like that. They've worked, I think there's been a give and take all along between the martial arts and the military, because it's a mindset that expands both genres, and it's also a passion.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we appreciate your opinion so much, and I wish you the best, Karen, and thank you so much for your opinion.
Well, thank you.
Now, I'm moving right along. Now, this man is an amazing man. He is a Marine. He worked for Blah Blah Magazine in the days when people like Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and Joe Louis walked the halls. He is a co-founder of the Black Karate Federation, and he is now the reigning president of the Black Karate Federation. He is also, I love bragging about this, he was the personal bodyguard of Ringo Starr of the Beatles. But he was also one of the best fighters that we had in the 60s, people like Benny Akivas and Al DeCascos. He was an amazing fighter. He trained on the West Coast, and then he moved to the East Coast to open up a school for the Tracy's organization. I'm talking about the one, the only, this is Jerry Smith. Uncle Jerry, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
How are you, sir? It's so good to hear your voice.
I'm pretty good. I'm good. I'm great.
Good, good. Well, when I put this question together, I thought about you, sir, because I respect your deep, deep history as being a Marine. So the question is, how's the military affected the martial arts through the decades?
Well, before I pontificate about tonight's subject, I would like to say something about last week's show, because I think it was one of the best shows we've ever done. And it had to do with Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., I hope you're listening right now, because as an educator, I consider myself a lifelong learner. And I knew I said some things about the, not Taekwondo, but about the Amateur Athletic Association, AAU. And I said, man, AJ's going to be upset. And you were not. You were spot on in your opinion about it. And I learned so much. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, my brother. Don't ever change. Thank you. Okay, now I can go on to the martial arts, and the one thing, I joined the Marine Corps because it was the only way that I could get to Okinawa in Japan to study, and it was kind of stupid and crazy of me being a young Marine, the only way I could get there because there was a war going on. I went, I enjoyed it, I came back, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful life for me. And there are so many martial artists, like Chuck Norris, and I think Bill Wallace, and a multitude of others who went overseas and came back and spread the martial arts. So I have nothing but good things to say about it. Thank you.
No, thank you, sir. And we appreciate your service. And we appreciate your dedication to sport karate and being a great trainer. So thank you, sir. God bless you, and I'll talk to you real soon. Now, moving right along, this next gentleman is a protege of the man we just met. He also trained with some major Japanese masters. He's the professor that we have on the show. He runs the web, or he does the web designing of the Sport Karate Museum. I'm so proud because he's so smart. I want to bring on Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Gary.
Well, you are smart. So anyway, I want to ask you a question. How has the military, in your eyes, affected sport karate in America or martial arts in America?
Well, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in just the 60s and the 70s when karate dojos became commercial or became open, you know, and not just clubs that were kind of hidden away someplace. And the tournament circuit started and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think back to people like Dan Ivan, who in the 1940s was a CID officer in Japan, And he was responsible for not only investigating the martial arts there and getting black belts from some of the great masters that were alive at that time, but, you know, brought people over like Fumio Demura, which is exactly what a lot of the guys that trained overseas ultimately did. They helped bring a lot of the masters here in the 60s and the 70s to be able to live here and to be able to be fruit for, you know, the growth of the people here. Trias was the same way, you know, in the 40s in the Navy. He studied in Guam and other places in the Pacific and brought his back, and he opened up one of the very first commercial schools in Arizona. Norris was, you know, in Korea in the Air Force in the 50s and brought himself back and you know, was some of the first guys that were coming over, like my Korean instructor in the 60s, who was a military man himself. He was from the Rock Marines, and he taught me Taekwondo, the Chung Do-kwan family, the Chung Do-kwan school in the 60s. So it's been an incredible opportunity for us to be able to, you know, try that. My very first exposure to karate was in 1961, because it was a naval guy that just came back and mustered out of the Navy and had been stationed in Sasebo, Japan, and he brought back JKA Karate. And so that was my first exposure as a kid in the 61s when I was still doing judo. So,
man, you're,
you know,
old.
I'm so – I am old, I know. Yeah, I'm still
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got cut off earlier. And I just wanted to thank, you know, Master Smith for his kind words. So I got cut off for later. So.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's quite all right. Yeah, you know, we owe so much to the men and women who brought back the martial arts and decided to share them rather than just keep them in their own, you know, back pocket and so on and so forth. And in sharing them, they had to take on a lot of responsibility, both financial and also the students, because they were the vanguard of the 60s and 70s growth of martial arts, which was humongous in the United States, and it set us on a course of becoming a dominant form and also of martial arts in the world, and also the place where so many people would come to from all over the world to share what they had. We got so many of the masters from JKA and others in the 50s and 60s, and the Koreans coming here, and so many others. So, we owe that all to our veterans.
You know what was crazy? You know what was crazy is that there were several people from like a 150-mile radius between Detroit, Dayton, Ohio, Akron and Cleveland that trained in the, you know, just a small area of Korea. And that's where they lived. And
yeah.
That's where a big settlement of martial arts, like Detroit was huge with the beginning of martial arts. You know, Cleveland was big, you know, Dayton with, you know, Bob Thompson, and even in Pittsburgh. You know, it was just a small area, 150 miles radius, that was a huge influence in martial arts in America.
There is a website.
Were the military people that we're talking about, AJ?
They were all military. All of them were military people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Tom, I appreciate the input and all the wisdom that you share. And, you know, it's exciting to be able to talk to, you know, people like yourself and AJ and Jerry Smith and, you know, to talk, and Dean Pyle, to talk about it and to be able to talk about the influence that the military gave us when they did come from the Nam War and stuff. So it's been really special.
Hey,
Professor,
this is Wolverine. I want to say right quick, throw this in there right quick. I know a lot of times on this radio show, Taekwondo takes some hard hits, and people think that Taekwondo's are less, but there's several Kwans in Taekwondo. And Chun-Kwan Taekwondo is where the base for the United States Marine Corps martial arts program came from, because Chun-Kwan Taekwondo is not like Olympic-style Taekwondo. It has a lot of, it's more self-defense based with a lot more hardcore technique, and in which that's why it's used more in the military. So a lot of times people talking about Taekwondo, they look at the Olympic side of it, but what they don't realize is Taekwondo also has a hard side. That's why when these guys come back, they're Rock Marines. The Rock Marines, that's, my teacher was a Rock Marine. And the Rock Marines from Korea, those guys train. They're some of the toughest soldiers in the world on the planet. And their fighting system is some of the toughest. And hang on, AJ, Beck, man. So these guys, you know, they come in and they teach that style of Taekwondo. Well, you don't have a lot of these guys going out doing Olympic stuff, but that come from Taekwondo, which was the art of foot fighting. So their kicks are, you know, have power, but their skill set is designed to, you know, like you say, maim, stop, destroy, disable. You know, that's the whole thing behind it. So there's a hard style also behind Taekwondo, you know, that is a military side, because that in the Korea, that military, it's used in their military, and now it's used by our military.
You're absolutely correct. You know, my instructor was Mudokwon, but his younger brother was a Rock Marine, and he was Chun-Kwan.
Right.
Who says stop, maim, disable, destroy?
You.
Well, anyway.
You know what I say, but you won't let me say it on the radio.
Professor Tom.
But Patrick and I say the same thing.
Professor Tom, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your input and what you do for me every week. Thank you for that piece of wisdom toward the military. So,
thanks for the opportunity.
And I get to bounce. I get to bounce from Ohio to Florida to North Carolina to Oregon to Las Vegas. And I'm going to go back to Texas right now. And this man, David, are you on the air? David Chambers?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known this man since he was an orange belt in karate. I got to coach him to his first world championship at underbelt for the ski organization, which is the NBO. He is now a major black belt in Texas. In fact, he is the president of the largest martial art association in Texas. He is the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Texas, the largest association we have here in this big state. But that's not why I love bragging about him. He is one of the Golden Greek, the MVP of Texas for karate, over 5 times. Ladies and gentlemen, it took me 17 years to win one. This guy has won over 5. Now, somewhere down the line, he'll tell me exactly how many, but I know he's won over 5. And I want to bring him on right now. The four, part of the five, my friend, President, D.E. or David Chambers. D.E., are you there, buddy?
I am here. Yes, sir.
My introduction is getting better.
I love that.
Now, D.E., how has the military affected martial arts in America in your eyes?
Well, I'm going to start with what's going on currently. Normally, if you're in the dojo, somebody walk in the building, they say, oh, I haven't taken karate in a while, but I took it when I was in the service. So you have those individuals walk in, and then they are looking for a particular type of martial art. Then you have the young ones, who I call it a training, that go to the martial art, excuse me, to the service, so they're training to get ready for it. And they come sometimes to go to the karate schools to train so they can pass certain tests, so they can go to the martial arts, to the service. So I look at two different types that I interact with on a day-to-day basis. Now, I have some of my students that, you know, they start with the ROTC, then they graduate from there, so then get ready for whatever service all the services they have. I have a couple of black belts now in Civil Air Patrol. I have a couple of them that's in the Army, and one or two that's in the Navy. Now, they are excited about the training they get because I think it coincides. I think the discipline that brings about from both organizations, it makes a better person. Now, where I, of course, appreciate anybody that's in the service for the many things they do for America in general, but what is in relationship to the martial art, I'm saying you have two organizations that create a better person. So that's how it coincides. And I love the both spectrums of one, the students that I have that's trying to get involved in it by saying, hey, I got to have this many push-ups, this many sit-ups. I got to be prepared to listen and follow instructions. So I know the martial art that training I'm getting is going to make me better prepared for that. Then the flip side of the ones who took it a long time ago and came back in, well, I'm not in any rank. You know, we just killed people when I was in the service. You know, we were going to life and death situations. Well, those individuals, sometimes their special training, even though it's very serious training, but we do our advanced self-defense, some of them is a great asset, whether they train it or come and assist it. So you have a two-part spectrum there, and I appreciate both ends of it.
Yes. Now, I only got a few minutes. I want to mention the great event that we're going to be doing for Fred Simon.
Oh,
Rest
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your instructor,
yes, sir.
And my dear friend, one of my history generals, you're doing a benefit for Fred. Tell my listeners a little bit about that.
Grandmaster Fred A. Simon, who also was in the service, also known as a great singer, also was in the education. He taught school for over 50 years. He was my instructor, best person ever in the world. And we lost him last year a big loss of mine, but we get the opportunity now to recognize him for life. So now what I'm excited about is that on February the 4th, we have an event in actually Beaumont, Texas, where he was living and teaching classes. We are asking everybody to donate money. Just donate money to the cause, because all the money we raise that day, we're going to turn around and give it to two kids for a scholarship and sponsorship of other kids. So this will be raising funds through Grandmaster Simon on February the 4th. You can go to Event Red and register, and you can also go to Event Red and donate money so that we can actually appreciate you as we appreciate Fred Simon. So I'm really excited about that.
The one thing I remember about Uncle Fred was that he loved kids. He loved his little babies.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm proud.
Yes.
I'm proud that I'm one of his little babies. And I take a lot of pride in that. So thank you, D.E. Now I'm going to bounce back up.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, the amazing thing about doing a radio show, I get to put amazing people together. And this man, he's the one. He's part of the 4+1, which is the future of the 5. And he is a writer for the Sport Karate Museum. You can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and read some of the stories he wrote. He is also an A3 black belt. He's a Korean martial artist. He is an advisor for the Sport Karate Museum. A great guy. I'm talking about James Moore. James, Uncle Jim, are you there, buddy?
Yes, I am, sir.
What a great show tonight. Now, you have something very special that I want to talk about, because your dad was actually a Jew instructor, but I'll let you talk about it a little bit. Go ahead, Uncle Jim.
No, I appreciate it. And my dad passed away a number of years ago, but his story is very personal to me, as he and I were very close, and he was a big teddy bear to everyone who knew him, despite his experiences in World War II. He enlisted in the Army in February 1941, I believe for 1 year, And we all know what happened in December of 1941. So he ended up in the military for 6 years. He was a boxer. He learned what they called back then combat judo. And he learned that from U.S. military personnel who had studied in China, came and brought their arts, what they'd learned back to the States. He ended up being Army liaison to the Marines, often in hand-to-hand combat in the jungles of Guadalcanal. And he also witnessed many of the naval battles. I won't mention all of his experiences in combat, as they were frankly horrific, and I think many or most would not really be able to handle some of the stories. There's a book that was written by a Marine colonel on the war in the South Pacific, and I tried to dig it out. I just got back traveling. I couldn't find it, but there was a quote in there that he said that the Army personnel that fought with the Marines in the South Pacific and Guadalcanal were every bit as tough as the Marines, and that really meant a lot to me. My dad ended up being hit by a bomb. He was sent to New Zealand and then back to the States, and that's where he taught martial arts at Camp Roberts and to the troops. And he worked with an Indian guy, actually, who was a knife fighting expert and taught my dad and the troops a lot of knife fighting techniques. They, the two of them definitely knew what worked in real combat, and they were in those life or death situations. Interestingly, my Shorin Ryu master in Brazil, Yoshihide Shinzato, they learned when they met in Brazil, they talked about where they were in the war, and they realized that they were probably shooting at each other at one time, and but they had no animosity to each other. Just it was pure friendship. So my dad had a significant contribution to martial arts from the military. I grew up very poor and in a tough neighborhood with lots of bullies. So my dad was my first martial arts instructor and started me on the path in martial arts. And heroes like my dad, Jerry Smith, Kelly Dean, and the others truly are my heroes. It's because of them that my family and I have been able to live a free life, and I'm forever indebted to these heroes. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Uncle Gary.
You know, Mr. Moore, you know, undoubtedly, I don't care what anybody says, judo is the toughest martial art there is. You get a black belt in judo, you know, you're doing something. That is a tough martial art, and it's, you know, only the few survive.
Well, I agree, AJ. Judo is, you know, the times I got in trouble in point karate doing the rotei sekigaki or ippon sekigaki, I can't tell you. But, yeah, thank you, Uncle Jim. Thank you, James Moore, for your input. And rest in peace, your father. God bless you, sir.
Now, yeah, thank you all very much.
You know, the neat thing about the radio show, we get to talk about various things. And what? For a year now, I've introduced what they call virtual reality through the Sport Karate Museum History Journal portals called SetVR.app. And for a year now, I've had the, golly bub, I've had the co-inventor of this amazing hologram that has attacked you in virtual reality, and they have allowed for me to be able to put the History Journals and portals and their history on this web page. And I want to bring him on right now, my dear friend, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, you there, buddy?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sir. I want to say hello to all
the people. What an incredible show tonight. What an incredible show. Now, I want you to tell my listeners, what exactly is SetVR?
Yes. We continue to be super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality as a platform whereby you continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact, and you can take it anywhere you travel, and even during a pandemic, to continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. As I mentioned before, I would describe SetVR as a simulation program. You'll be actually immersed in this program. You'll not be sitting on the outside watching, but you'll be actually immersed against a virtual attacker that will attack you when you least expect it. With the use of a Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random, to place you in a situation to prove your skills in invasion through angular, linear, and circular movements, and to place you in an opportunity position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy, and muscle memory, and my goal to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize and attack without hesitation. Imagine just like placing your hand on a hot stove, you remove your hand by reflex. We can help you in regards to training that particular important piece in self-defense through our program with SetVR. This is a platform whereby you can practice and to utilize what you've been taught in techniques and skills in your class and forms in a program to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've also introduced a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation. We'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We'll continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us on our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal in SetVR, which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior at the History Portal program at the entrance of the History Portal. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the History Portal. Professor Gary Lee, with some few words, if you could kindly mention your vision of your program in SetVR in virtual reality.
Well, my vision is very simple. I want to educate, and I believe that the History General Portal will do that. Once you go through the hologram and you get to go into the History General Portals, you'll learn the history of amazing people. Now, we're going to have a core group. We've got Roy Kirvin, the inventor of the two-point kick that's throughout the world now. Mr. George Minshew, the inventor of the first gold ring in open competition. Chris Minshew, NBL world champion. And Mike Dillard, okay, the owner of Blotto Magazine and Century Martial Arts. And then every month, we're going to add a new history general. So eventually, all the history will be there of sport karate, all the people you've listened to tonight, and plus hundreds of more. We got over a couple hundred history generals. So thank you, Reggie, for your information and all the things you've done for the Sport Karate Museum. So good night, Reggie. Now, I've got to move out along here real quickly because, you know, we only have an hour. I wish we had more time. But the man I introduced to you earlier, the co-host, he has an alias. He's called the Wolverine. He means what he says. He says what he means. And he can back it up, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to bring on the Wolverine right now. Wolverine?
See you, Nagata.
Now, Wolverine, we only got a couple minutes, but I want you to put your input in. Is or what? How do you feel about the military being involved with sport karate in the history?
Well, I mean, I think it works hand in hand. It's just like Mr. Chambers said. The you know, you have people that join karate and martial arts who get the same benefits. Because when they go into the military, it enhances them in the military because they've learned to be self-disciplined. They've learned to listen, follow directions. They've learned the martial side. You know, the military is more about the martial side than the philosophical side or the, you know, healing side. So, you know, it does go hand in hand back and forth. And I think a lot of it, once the people are in the military, and if that's their first experience and they learn that martial side, when they get out, they look to do, like Ms. Slasher said, they look to start going for that healing side and stuff like that. So it brings the two sides together. You know, you need them both, and I think they enhance, you know, they definitely enhance one another. I think that as far as sport karate is involved, you know, military involvement with any schools that do sport karate, it starts to bring a realism to their self-defense, because a lot of self-defense techniques are based on things that may happen, you know, 2,000 years ago, or, you know, martial artists practice from the chambered hand in the chambered position for self-defense. And, you know, that's where martial arts takes a bad rap when it comes to law enforcement or military, because, you know, you can't have your hands chambered at the hip when you're out there fighting. People that's been doing it a long time, yeah, they can pull that off. They might pull off a shot, you know, from, hey, my hands is in my pocket, and pull off that hip rotation in that shot. But in general, it's a good idea to keep your hands up to guard your grill. You know, so I think both of them together, they just go hand in hand, and they intertwine like a bulletproof vest to help
cool.
strengthen each other.
Wolverine, I can't wait for this year. We're introducing it at, you know, we've done Collar Wars for 6 years now. We're going to keep doing Collar Wars. But this year at the event, at the gathering at the Legends, we're going to be introducing a special self-defense competition, and I'm excited about it. In fact, Paris, are you there? Paris?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What did you say tonight? You made me want to talk Wolverine and doing a self-defense or entering the competition.
Yes, him and I together.
Yeah, and you know, hey, and another thing real quick, Professor, you're talking about the Action Hall of Honor in Atlantic City. We will be there in Atlantic City doing a Last Fest Tactical Combative seminar at the Hall of Honors. We will also have the Coward booth set up, and that will be our reboot as we start moving into the next year, going into that next year, getting ready to start filming. And while we're on the radio show, I wanted to wait until my brother was on here, but while we were doing the rewrite, he's been added to the cast, so he will be in the cast. So of the Coward. So I just wanted to make that announcement here.
Okay. Now, the whole plan.
Yes, I'm here. There's some kind. You're kind of.
There's
like
somebody really talking in the background, so you can't hear anything.
Someone's got to kill their. Yeah, there's the background noise. I don't want to use the word to kill. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paris, thank you. So
Paris
much
and
for
I
do the show tonight. It means so much that we got to share. And you know what? We're actually getting pretty good at this. We had a lot of information tonight, and for anybody, you know, that wants to be on the radio show, give me a call. And you can reach me at 713-483-0476 if you have something to talk about, or you're sport karate oriented, or you just like to call me and say hello, please do. Paris, thank you for
yes,
being
sir.
On the show tonight, buddy. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to.
And I owe you an apology. I didn't mean to sound like a jerk when I said I don't think I'm special. It's just I don't, but I appreciate you guys thinking I am, and that makes
me
feel
you're a humble
good.
Guy, Paris.
Well,
you're
thanks.
A humble guy.
Well, you are special.
I appreciate that,
and
brother.
We appreciate you so much. We really yes. do. For all of us on the Parts Unknown radio show, I mean it. I say it every week, and we mean it from the heart. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Mahalo.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.